This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا الى الله باذنه وسراجا منيرا. Before I start the lecture, I just want to take a couple of moments out to thank Sheikh Abu Ayman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor him. And also his son, Sheikh Usama, and everyone else. For those who don't know, Sheikh Usama was actually my classmate for many, many years. And we got to know each other in the first semester. And he used to tell me about his father. And I was also told by others how his father has been a pioneer of the da'wah from a very, very long time ago. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them both. You guys have people of knowledge amongst you. So it's incumbent upon us to benefit from them as much as we can. Also, subhanAllah, when I saw the Shaykh praying, sitting down, it reminded me of some lines of poetry. When Hafid al-Hakami, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Wasilatu al-Husul ila Muhimmat al-Usul said, وَمِنْهُمَا حُجَّتُنَا عَلَيْهِ بِأَنَّهُ الْآخِرُ مِنْ أَمْرَيْهِ كالأمر أن يجلس ذو اتمام إن عجز الإمام عن قيام وجالسا صلى هو الإمام في مرض الموت وهم قيام. Because the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith, فإذا صلى قاعدا فصلوا قعودا. If the Imam prays sitting down, you should also pray sitting down. However, at the end of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم's life, what happened? وجالسا صلى هو الإمام في مرض الموت وهم قيام. The last of the two incidents that took place was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down when leading the salah while everyone else behind him was standing up. So some of the scholars, they mentioned that this second ruling abrogated the first, and you don't normally see it. So subhanallah, as soon as I saw it, I remembered them lines of poetry and I thought I would share it. My beloved brothers and sisters, hadithuna al-yawm. Today, the topic of discussion is about the one who killed 100. And the plan is, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, to derive 20 benefits. I've given this lecture before in the UK, in Green Lane Masjid, Birmingham. And at the time, I only derived 5. The other day, I delivered this lecture again, and that time it was 18. But now we hope, inshallah ta'ala, to do one better. I don't like to deliver the same lecture wherever I go. We always try to add as many benefits as we can. Naam. So this hadith, my beloved brothers and sisters, is a hadith that every individual from different walks of life can benefit from. Whether you are young in age, whether you are old, whether you're a male or a female, whether you're a drug dealer, someone who works in a brothel, right? Whatever it might be, this hadith, wallahi, it solves many of our social issues. If only we took out the time to really reflect and ponder. So this hadith, my beloved brothers and sisters, was narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, كَانَ فِي مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ رَجُلٌ قَتَلَ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ نَفْسًا فَسَأَلَ عَنْ أَعْلَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, there was an individual who came before you. He took 99 lives. And then he asked about the one who is the most knowledgeable on the face of this earth. Yes, the barbaric, bloodthirsty individual. He asked about who is the most knowledgeable on earth. He was smart enough to do that. فَسَأَلَ عَنْ أَعْلَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَدُلَّ عَلَى رَاهِبٍ. He was then directed and steered towards a rahib. Who's a rahib? A monk. He asked him. He said to him, there isn't. What did he do? He ended up killing him as well. Completed 100. He continued in his quest of finding redemption. He was then directed towards a person of knowledge and asked, فَهَلْ لِي مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. Is it possible for me to be forgiven? He said, نعم. Yes, there is. However, what you need to do is, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا فإن بها أناسا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَاعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مَعْهُمْ وَلَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِكَ فَإِنَّهَا أَرْضُ سُوءٍ. Go to so-and-so place. Indeed, there are people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah Azza wa Jal with them, and don't ever come back to these lands. As indeed, they are lands that carry a lot of evil. So that's exactly what he done. He left, packed his bags, and got off. حَتَّى إِذَا نَصَفَ الطَّرِيقِ. He was halfway in his quest to the land of redemption. What happened? He died. He passed away. So the two angels came. فَاخْتَصَمَتْ فِيهِ مَلَائِكَةُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَمَلَائِكَةُ الْعَذَابِ. The angel of mercy and the angel of adab. Each one said that I am more entitled to taking a soul. And the reasons that they put forth was, the angel of rahmah says, إِنَّهُ جَاءَ تَائِبًا مُقْبِلًا بِقَلْبِهِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Indeed, this individual was repenting. He went forth with his heart solely wanting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the angel of adab said, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ خَيْرًا قَطْ. He never ever done a good deed, and because of that, I should take his soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a third angel في سورة البشر in the form of a human being. And what happened at the end, I'll mention at the end of the lecture, inshaAllah ta'ala. To judge between them. Allah Azza wa Jalla sent his third to judge between them. And we mentioned that right at the end. So the first benefit that we can take away from this hadith, the narrator is who? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Sa'id, my beloved brothers and sisters, the famous companion, he was top six from amongst those who narrated the most hadith from amongst the companions. Even Hafidh As-Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, some lines of poetry says, وَالْمُكْثِرُونَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَثَرِ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةِ يَلِيهِ بْنُ عُمَرِ وَأَنَسٌ وَالْبَحْرُ كَالْخُدْرِيِّ وَجَابِرٌ وَزَوْجَةُ النَّبِيِّ. When speaking about those who narrated the most hadith, and Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I believe was number six. A beautiful benefit that we can take from his life is what Hantala ibn Abi Sufyan mentioned when speaking about his teachers. أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَحْدَاثِ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَعْلَمُ مِنْ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ الْخُدْرِي. From out of all of the young companions that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم had, Hantala ibn Abi Sufyan is saying, there wasn't anyone from amongst those young companions who was more knowledgeable than Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He strove hard at a very young age to take in that knowledge. And wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, when we learn something at a very young age, as Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, al-ilmu fi al-sighar kan-naqshi fi al-hajar. The knowledge that you take in at a young age is like carving into a stone. It tends to stick. Elders today, they want to memorize the Quran. And one of the common things that I hear from time to time is our elders saying, I wish I memorized the Quran when I was younger. I may pick up the Quran now and I start memorizing, but it slips away so much more quicker than maybe a youngster if he was to start memorizing and learning. And as the saying goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ بَلَى. Isn't that so? So much more harder, even though we will say that the companions, they started seeking knowledge at an older age. Many of them started at an older age. So it is an old doom and gloom. However, it is more preferable that an individual benefits from his youth while he has the opportunity. While he has the opportunity. Don't think to yourself there's too many mashayikh around. You have Shaykh Abu Ayman, Shaykh Usama, and the rest of the mashayikh. When will the people ever need me? Isn't it possible for them to depart from this world at any time? And then it will be your turn to benefit the people? Right? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُقْبَضْ. Upon you to seek knowledge before it is seized. فَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى يُفْتَقَرُ إِلَى مَا عِنْدَهُ. Indeed, you don't know when that time is going to come, when the people will be in need of what you have. Agreed? Today, no one's benefiting from you. But tomorrow, there comes that time. And a person of knowledge, أينما وقع نفع, wherever he goes, he could be in the jungle, and there are people there, he will be beneficial for them. And you don't know what could end up happening and where Allah Azza wa Jalla will take you. So benefit from your time like Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He took advantage of his youth. Shabun nasha fi ibadatillah. The seven who will be under the shade of Allah the day when there's no shade except his. Right? One of them is a youngster who spent his youth learning about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Benefit number two, and I need somebody to write it down. Do we have anyone who's going to write it down? Unless you're like Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, who has photographic memory and can memorize everything that he hears. There are a lot of benefits, brothers and sisters, that we're going to be taking that you will look back at years down the line when maybe what? Wanting to advise your kids, right? When wanting to advise your kids, or maybe you need it for yourself that you can take inspiration from. There's a line of poetry where the poet said, لَابُدَّ لِلطَّالِبِ مِنْ كُنَاشٍ يَكْتُبُ فِيهِ رَاكِبًا أَوْ مَاشٍ. It is a must that the talib, he carries kunash. You know what kunash is? Scrap paper. He writes when he rides and he writes when he walks. And of course, because we're living in the time of the millennials, I had to change up the line of poetry a little bit. Nobody carries scrap paper with them today. So I tweaked a little bit and I said, لَابُدَّ لِلطَّالِبِ مِنْ أَيْبَادٍ يَكْتُبُ فِيهِ رَاكِبًا أَوْ مَاشٍ. It is a must that the talib, he carries iPad. It's like a freshy way of saying iPad, just so it rhymes in Arabic. He carries with him an iPad. He writes when he rides and he writes when he walks. I've been saying this quite a lot for a very long time, all the way up until recently, because I'm a diehard Apple fan. I've been making a lot of dua for Steve Jobs. Have you guys heard of Steve Jobs? Who's Steve Jobs? He created Apple. Fadahallahu alayk. Tayyib, let me ask you guys a question. Is it allowed for somebody to make dua for a kafir after he died? No. You're not allowed. So I was making dua for him all the way up until recently, and then one time someone said, Ustad, just to let you know, Steve Jobs died in 2011. Araf Lish, why? Why was I making dua for him? Because some of these apps on here, like Notes, it was a huge benefit for me in my life. Sheikh Osama knows. I sit in a class, people are thinking I'm messing around with the phone, or maybe on social media. Whatever the Sheikh is saying, I would write it on the notes. Right? I need to retrieve my information. You just put it in the search, put that word in, and then it comes up. Even now, in the lecture I'm giving, from time to time, a benefit comes to mind, and I write it down. And you can't do that, in fact, with scrap paper, because it could easily get lost. Maybe you can, but it's very difficult to keep up with. You could use it for books. These phones are double-edged swords that can be used for a lot of benefit, and it can also cause a lot of harm. طيب, who's going to, inshallah ta'ala, احتاج إلى شخص طيب. I'm going to rely on you, because sometimes I just go on, and I forget what number I'm on. طيب. Second benefit is the permissibility of narrating stories from the children of Israel, not the Israelis today. Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam was called what? Israel. Right? And the offspring of Israel that came after, and there was a lot of incidents that took place. So it is permissible to narrate the stories of the Bani Israel, providing the narration is uttered by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it's also authentic. For indeed, you can walk away with profound lessons and amazing benefits. However, if the Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they narrate a story to us that this and that happened, we don't accept it, nor do we deny it. It could be true, but we don't have an authentic narration. There's no way to prove that this is actually authentic, because it wasn't uttered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the chain is not there. Does that make sense? فَلَا تُصَدِّقُوا وَلَا تُكَذِّبُوا, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. The third benefit, my beloved brothers and sisters, is this barbaric, bloodthirsty human being was smart enough to inquire about the one who has the most knowledge, when needing a fatwa relating to his affair. Even though, subhanAllah, he was of this kind of individual, killing people. He killed 99. Now he needs a fatwa, an Islamic verdict pertaining to his religion. Who does he go and ask? That ignorant person who's sitting in the cafe, who's barely ever studied, and then he is giving out fatawa. Huh? I remember one time, subhanAllah, one brother told me, right, there's a guy who gives fatawa in Tim Hortons. Huh? I think it was Samir that said it, Sheikh Samir. And I was like, who? He never told me who he was, and I still don't know. Right? A guy that would sit, Tim Hortons, hasn't gone out and studied, and he's given out fatawa. You guys know Tim Hortons, by the way? Huh? It's a Canadian thing. I think you guys have Oliver something. What is it called? I think that's a Sydney thing then. So it hasn't arrived here. They were like, Oliver something is like the big deal. It's like the Tim Hortons. Tayyib. He was smart enough to go to the one who's most qualified. Agreed? Honestly, brothers and sisters, right? You wouldn't speak about anything related to engineering because you're not qualified. You wouldn't speak about that which relates to the mechanic's job because you're not qualified. Why is it that we might feel comfortable to speak about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it? Because I'm a Muslim, I can just speak about the religion and say what I want? It's ajabun min al-ajaib. Wallah, I remember, subhanAllah, in the COVID period, it's just after it finished, but it was still going around, right? Alhamdulillah, the masajid were open. I was going around giving lectures in different masajid around the UK. Just about every masjid that I go to, people are asking me, what's your view on the vaccine? Allahu Akbar. Last time I checked, right? Last time I checked the CV, it didn't have a qualification of medicine, brothers and sisters. Why should I give a verdict? Why should I speak about something that is above the pay grade or above my head? Someone might be, brothers and sisters, on a ventilator. I remember there was even a time when my little brother, Salah Yarhamah, he was on a ventilator. You go ask whatever sheikh you want. He's going to say to you, go to the people that are most qualified. Go and seek advice from two trustworthy doctors. As Allah says in the Quran, فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٍ. Ask a person of expertise. Right? People, subhanAllah, I don't know here in Australia, but in the UK, and I said this in a packed masjid, some people have blood on their hands because they gave verdicts without knowledge. When it first started, even I started becoming influenced by these guys who kept on saying, wallahi, the COVID is not real. The COVID is not real. And I thought maybe, yeah, it is a conspiracy like a lot of people are saying. And at one time, brothers and sisters, I dropped down on my knees. Yes, I was afflicted with COVID. The pain that I felt, wallahi, I've never felt in my life. I was getting my will ready. Writing down, okay, this is going to go there and this is going to go there. Ila akhirah. The pain that I felt, I never ever felt before. And even then people are saying, oh no, that's just a minor cold. It's not a big deal, don't worry about it. You can walk around adi. While we're being told to isolate. The severe headaches, the severe throat aches and the ear aches and the head and whatever. Never felt anything like that. On Eid, I prayed inside of my room that I was in, sitting down because of how weak I felt. And then people are going around saying, "Akhi, it's a conspiracy, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal." I'm not someone who has a position on the issue of vaccine. I don't even need to be giving a position. It's not my job. I'm not pro nor am I anti. That's not my role. But the point of the matter is, brothers and sisters, when a lot of people start speaking and it could lead to loss of life, would you agree that you have blood on your hands? Wallahi, there was his brother. I remember, subhanAllah, they told me after he passed away. He was afflicted by COVID. Everyone was like to him around him because in Birmingham it was a big deal. There was a lot of anti-vacciners. He got afflicted by it and he just took their advice and then he's about to die. You know what he said? This was one of the last things he said. I really wish I didn't listen to them. I really wish I didn't listen to them. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy upon that brother, because he was a good brother. Went to Kuwait to study. Seema al-Talib al-Ilm passed away. Right? You don't have to comment on everything and anything, brothers and sisters. You know, it's also very ajeeb, right? And I know there's a lot of marriage problems here in Australia. A sister has a decent marriage, right? It may well be even, subhanAllah, very, very good. ماذا يحصل? We know in marriages there's always going to be ups and downs. أليس كذلك? Is there a marriage that is perfect? Anyone who walks into marriage thinking that it's going to be perfect, wallah, you're deluded. That's a fantasy type of mindset that you have with regards to what marriage is. There are bound to be ishkaliyat. You're going to go through problems. It's not going to be perfect. There are always going to be problems. So it may well be that one time she's experienced some difficulty in her marriage, right? And she's with her friends. And the way human beings are, they confine in those that they love and their friends. Isn't that so? يَأْنَسُونَ بِهِمْ وَمَا سُمِّيَ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَّا لِنَسِهِ as some of the scholars mentioned. An insan was not called an insan because, except because he forgets, and also because يَحْتَاج إِلَى الْأُنْسِ he needs to seek pleasure in people. That's why you always, after getting married, you want a child. And after a child, you're craving for that grandchild and madriyash, and you're always craving for something. You want to seek pleasure in something. عَلَى كُلِّ حَال Iblis sends his troops to a shaytana, a female devil that is walking around on the streets of the West. And this good sister, who has a pretty decent marriage, begins to confine in this girl about her problems. What does this shaytana do, this devil that has been sent? How can he do that? What kind of husband is this? He should be doing this and he should be doing that. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. No, is she married? Huh? Has no experience and also what? No knowledge as well. And she's advising her. And then this woman who's married, she said, oh yeah, you're right. You're right. Goes back to her husband and starts dealing with her husband in a very, very problematic, negative way. Who gave her advice? This woman, la ilm wa la khibra. No knowledge, no experience. Ibn Hazm rahmatullahi alayhi is one of my favorite quotes. He says, "Ma ajmal as-samt fi al-qadaya al-hassasa." How beautiful is silence on issues that are sensitive. And look what he says, "Fakam shahadna mimman ahlakahu kalamuhu wa lam nara qattu mimman ahlakahu sukutuhu." How often have we seen someone destroying himself because of something that he uttered, but we never ever saw someone leading himself to destruction for being silent. Have you guys ever seen something like that? He's just silent. Does anyone blame him? Al-Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ فَسَادٌ عَظِيمٌ أَن يَتَكَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانُ بِكُلِّ مَا يَسْمَعُ. It is indeed great corruption that one speaks about everything that he hears. Stay in your lane. You want to speak about the deen? You want to comment? أهلاً وسهلاً. Go and study the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is something that many people don't want to do. It requires a lot of effort, a lot of time. Right? And it's not easy. Just as I wouldn't speak about issues related to medical science, because I don't know anything about it. I have my first cousin, who's like the mufti. You know how the mufti gives Islamic verdicts? He works in a hospital and he has like the same mufti role. Those who are going to be carrying out the operation, they call him beforehand. Oh, how much of this should we add of medicine and how much of this drug should we add? And he gives the verdict and then they sign off. I call him whenever I get sick. Call him, Siraj, ma ra'yuk, what shall I do? I have another cousin who's a specialist on ear-related issues. I call her whenever I have an ear-related issue. Everyone should be referred back to regards to their speciality. طيب, how many is that? Three. Jameel. The fourth benefit, brothers and sisters, lack of knowledge got the monk killed. Lack of knowledge could either get you killed or could be the reason why people are killed. Agreed? Mad Dalil, he asked him. He was unqualified. He says, you can't be forgiven. Completes the 100th and gets him killed as well. We also have an incident in time in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فِي الرَّجُلِ ذِي شُجَّ فَاخْتَسَلْ فَمَاتَ. It's in Sunnah Abi Dawud. A man, brothers and sisters, from the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on a very cold night, had a stone pelted at his head and it split open. He fainted. After waking up, he realized that he was in a state of janaba. He had a wet dream. So then he asked the people around him, what do I need to do? Do I need to take a ghusl? A purificatory bath, or can I make wudu? They said, you have to take ghusl. A purificatory bath. He does that, and guess what happens? He dies. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so furious. And he said, قَتَلُوهُ قَتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ. They killed him, may Allah Azza wa Jalla kill them. أَلَا سَأَلُوا إِذَا لَمْ يَعْلَمُوا. Why didn't they ask if they didn't know? إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The cure for ignorance is what? To ask. Because ignorance, brothers and sisters, is a marad, it's a sickness. Got him killed. Right? I'll tell you guys something that I experienced when I was in Yemen back in 2012. Right? Prior to going to the Maj, which is an institute where we used to study, prior to going there, me and my cousins were in Sana'a, which is the capital. Which is the capital. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, we would leave 1 a.m. in the morning to go and grab tea. And there was safety and security. And this is sometimes a blessing that we undermine. Yes, was there corruption going on in the lands? Of course there was, and we will not defend any leader or ruler that is causing this. It's haram to defend that which is wrong. As Allah says, وَلَا تُجَادِلْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ يَخْتَأْنُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Does that make sense? We were able to leave at 1 a.m. in the morning. There was safety and security. We would go, have a dessert and come back. Tayyib, I go to study, right? And prior to going, a lot of the revolution that was taking place in my homeland, Yemen, and I'm going to speak for my homeland, it was starting up. It was starting up. People were camping on the roads and everything. They wanted to revolt against the tyrannical, oppressive ruler, if you want to call him that. I go to the north of Yemen, which is a village in between mountains. We used to live in a mud house in between mountains. The water used to come once every 3 days or once every 2 days. We're hearing that the capital has turned upside down. The ulama, they were saying to them, listen guys, stay in your homes. Don't come out. Yes, we know that he's like this and he's like that, but still stay in your homes. What did Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi mention hundreds and hundreds of years ago? He says, وَلَعَلَّهُ لَا يَكَادُ يُعْرَفُ طَائِفَةٌ خَرَجَتْ عَلَى ذِي سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا وَكَانَ فِي خُرُوجِهَا مِنَ الْفَسَادِ أَعْظَمَ مِنَ الْفَسَادِ ذِي أَزَالَتُهُ. He said, you will struggle to find a people who revolted to remove the evil of their leader, except that it led to that which is far worse. It's a challenge that he puts out throughout history. And the fact that someone may say don't revolt, it doesn't mean that he's defending the filth and the evil that a particular leader is coming with. Let's make that very clear. The scholars, they were saying, stay in your homes, don't do anything, please. You're going to turn the country upside down. And the ulama, they have insight, they have basira. They can see what? They're very long-sighted. You know what some of the people would say? These guys here, they're what? Ulama al-hayd wa nifas. Scholars who only know about menses, you know, menses, the monthly period, and postnatal bleeding. They don't know anything else. What happened? Wallahi, brothers and sisters, after the revolution took place, go and ask every Yemeni that is abroad, would you prefer to live post Abdullah Saleh, who was the ruler at the time, or after? Pre and post, that's what they call it, right? Every single one of them will say, I wish the days could go back to how it was before they ousted him out. Yes, he done this and he done this and he done that and he was like this and he was like that. That was present. But we had safety and security. Many of us, we wake up living here in Australia, and the last thing on our mind is that someone's going to roll up and start firing at you. Unless, of course, you're a drug dealer. But the rest, go to sleep. Do you even think about being shot? Does it even cross our minds? Doesn't. Right? Everyone ended up suffering. There was only some people that did whatever they done. But everyone ended up suffering. Remember my grandmother, may Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy upon her. She had to suffer as well. Some miskin who was sitting in her home. When the adab comes, when the punishment comes, يَعُمُّ الْجَمِيعِ it ends up what? Afflicting everybody involved. Right? So many people along the way were killed. Lives were lost. Blood was spilt. Mothers lost their children. Fathers lost their children. And only later on, a lot of the Yemenis realized what the Sheikh was saying was actually correct. So we would see, subhanAllah, delegations, like thousands of people coming to the man just to visit. Before they cancelled them, but now they realized, yeah, we should have just probably listened. And they started respecting them more. Also, there's a qa'ida that we learn. In al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya, the manzuma of Imam al-Sa'di, وَكُلُّ مَا نَشَاءَ عَنِ الْمَأْذُونِ فَذَاكَ أَمْرٌ لَيْسَ بِالْمَضْمُونِ You will be held liable. If you're unqualified, and you begin to speak about whatever it might be. I'll give you guys the example of a doctor. If a doctor who's qualified now operates on a sick person, and he does his job accordingly, but due to the operation, he ends up dying. Is the doctor held liable? Can you turn around and say, oh doctor, you need to give me the blood money? Can you say that? Abadan. Because the Sharia has given him a permit to what? Carry out this operation. Because he's qualified. But what if you're not qualified? And then you end up taking a life while looking like a doctor. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man asaba nafsan fama dunaha. أو من تطبب ولم يكن بالطب معروفا فأصاب نفسا فما دونها فهو ضامن. Whoever acts like a doctor. I remember when he was in the jamia, we used to hear about, those rumors used to go around. Some of the doctors, they just what forged their certificates. Do you remember? So the students would be scared, should we go to the hospital or not? Allahu A'lam whether that's true or not. It's rumors at the end of the day. Some actually forged their certificates. One time I even asked a dentist, is this something that happens? He goes, yeah, it happens. So I said to him, is there any here? He goes, no, there isn't. I personally asked the doctor that. Right? People forge. In today's day and age, it's very easy to forge and get stamps and pay somebody some rishwa. If people were paying money to get the vaccines done, I think everything else is possible as well, right? I know people that were paying to be what? Fully vaccinated. And they never got the vaccine done. Forged. So in today's day and age, things can, I can see some heads dropping. Allahu A'lam whether you guys done that. Only Allah knows best. Huh? Do you guys get the point? It can be forged. And then this individual ends up killing or taking a life. And then they find out that he was never a qualified doctor. He's held liable. Likewise, if you now give a verdict on al-Islam, like what happens when people go out for Umrah or Hajj. Someone does something and then he asks the people around him, do I need to pay a penalty? There's people that start giving, yeah, you have to pay a penalty. You know how much the penalty is? 500 riyals. I believe it's something like $270, Australian dollars, maybe something along the lines of that. So then he goes to the office and pays it. And then he comes up to me and he asks, oh, I did this. Is there a penalty? I was like, no, you don't need to pay a penalty. He goes, I just paid a penalty. Islam allows him now to go to that ignorant person that gave him that verdict and to take that money back. وكل ما نشاء عن المأذون فذاك أمر ليس بالمضمون. Right? أما إذا لم يكن له إذن فإنه يضمن. He's held liable. Number five, صح؟ Or number five now. طيب. Number five, brothers and sisters, the fact that the people told him to go to a monk shows the lack of knowledge in the community. And they had a role to play in getting him killed. Because he asked, right? He asked. And everybody's saying to him, yeah, that person of knowledge is there, that monk. Is a abid a person of knowledge? A devout worship, is he a person of knowledge? A lot of the time we don't distinguish. We may see a guy with a big beard, mashallah, he's got big jubbah, huh? And everybody starts running towards him because he moves his head like that. يُطَعْطِئُ رَأْسَهُ. Just because he has the gift of the gab and the look, because in today's day and age, especially in the West, if you just have a bit of ya'ni ya'ni when you speak in English, huh? And you dress a certain way, you wear that imama, and you know how to speak, you'll go a very long way. People will listen to you. Do you guys agree with that? Especially now in the era of the millennials, where YouTube has given a platform to every Dom, Dick and Harry. Just go by the camera, put it in front of you, get a mic, stick it on, start preaching. And then we, whenever we need a mas'ala, instead of going to the right people, right? We go to Sheikh Google, we type it in, and then this guy pops up. Oh, let's see what he has to say. Oh, I got my answer, let me go back to the people. يحصل ولا لا? Does that happen or not? Of course it does. They themselves didn't know, and they directed him to this individual. Lack of knowledge in the community, brothers and sisters, could lead to a loss of lives. And I'll tell you guys, as someone who is a qualified inheritance distributor, wallahi, the jahal revolving around this concept of inheritance, the amount of fitna that it causes in the community, and not only in the community, but amongst families. Blood brothers, they're about to take each other's lives because of some dunya that was left behind. And we're sitting there dealing with it. And instead of going to a person who knows about these things, what do? They go to the legal court. And then all sorts of things start taking place. Al-hukum bighayri ma anzalallah wa madri ayish, judging by other than the book of Allah. And he doesn't realize that he may even lose his religion by doing so. Number six, right? The eagerness of continuing and not giving up. This man took 99 lives. And makes it 100. Right? He still continued. Even though, subhanAllah, he was of this caliber. You hear people saying today, I'm a lost hope, I'm doom and gloom, right? There's no light at the end of the tunnel, I'm going to the hellfire. La wallah, look at this man. This man, who's a barbaric, bloodthirsty individual, took 100 lives, and I'm going to keep saying these words for the sake of emphasis. He was smart enough to continue. There's no hope for me. I've been indulged in sins for so long. Khalas. The seventh benefit, and this is one of my favorite. This bad experience that he had with a person of religion, it didn't lead him to writing off all people of religiosity. He still went looking for someone else. Let's speak about Twitter again. Twitter, brothers and sisters, if you want to cancel somebody, it is the best platform, right? Sometimes there's a particular scandal that takes place pertaining a person of religion, right? Even, subhanAllah, some time ago, some things came out about a person, right, who gives da'wah, And all the sisters are commenting under the Instagram post saying, move it onto Twitter. Because it'll get more publicity and whatever have you. You may have had a bad experience, and then people start making general sweeping statements about all the people of religion. Is that do that? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in hadith, إِنَّ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ النَّاسِ مَنْزِلَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. From the worst of the people in the eyes of Allah, الرجل, there's a man who insults another. So the one who's been insulted, what does he do? He ends up insulting that individual and the rest of those in his qabila, in his tribe. He disses all of them. And this is pretty serious, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you guys why. And I really want the feminists to listen to me. A lot of these sweeping general statements, especially that we hear from our sisters, Hadani Allahu wa iyyakunna. You may have had a bad experience with a guy. And then you start saying that all men are trash. Yahsul wa la la. Let's be honest with ourselves. All men are trash. Let me ask you guys a question, right? What's the world population today? 7.8 billion? Did you say that? Or did someone else? 7 billion. Last time I checked, the thing was 7.8. Huh? We'll go off with 8. How many of the 8 billion are actually women? Are there more women or less? More. Na'am. Right? This is why the men should marry. And keep marrying. Huh? And there's more women waiting and around. Even the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam said that there will come a time when the ratio of men to women will be what? 1 to 50. And by the way, I'm not encouraging anyone to do ta'addud. I just want to get out of here safely, inshallah. Huh? My thobe looks nice. I don't want people to start throwing things at me. هذا هو الشاهد من الكلام. Right? A ratio of 1 to 50. Let's just say there are 5 billion women, 3 billion men. When a woman says, all men are trash, isn't she now taking the burden of all of these 3 million? When she says all men are trash because of this sweeping statement that she has uttered, generalizing everybody. You know, I used to look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلَمِ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا فَيَهْوِي بِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمِ السَّبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. One, he may say one word. And when saying that, he doesn't give him much care and concern. He just says it. And he enrages Allah Azza wa Jal. And because of that one word, he's thrown in to the hellfire for 70 years. Now it makes a lot of sense, right? When somebody utters that kind of statement, 3 billion sins have just been moved onto your scale of bad deeds. That's why we need to be extra careful with what we utter. And the same applies for men as well. I remember in the jami'ah, in the university, right? I was actually speaking to a teacher. He had a bad experience in his marriage. And he started saying, all women are devils. I was like, Sheikh, ittaqillah, you can't say that. Alisa illa man rahima rabbuha. Except the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla had mercy upon. And even then, you're what? Doing istithna of a few. Man, asif al-shadeed, ma yasluh. Sometimes a bad experience can lead you to having certain views and ideas, which is problematic. And no one is perfect. So I had to tell that Sheikh, yani, chill, yani, you can't. Ma, it's not a devil. I told him. Huh? Even though we go through headaches and trouble and... Huh? But to say devils, that all women are like that. Number 8. Sah? Number 8, brothers and sisters, a person of knowledge being accessible to the people. A person of knowledge being accessible to the people. The Imam's role, brothers and sisters, if we're honest with ourselves, is very unappreciated. It's not a 9-to-5 job or 8-to-4 job where you go, you sit, do your work, and you go home and you forget about your duties at work. Imagine, brothers and sisters, right? And I'm sure a lot of us have gone through difficulties and we needed advice. Imagine the people of knowledge all closed themselves off. Where would we take our sensitive inheritance-related issues? Where would we take our marriage-related issues? Don't you think that the world would be fawda, chaos? If the people just went back to themselves, like you go to the imam of the masjid, you go to a student of knowledge, you ask him for advice, and Allah Azza wa Jal blesses this advice because it's the prophetic one. He took it from Allah Azza wa Jal, his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Does that make sense? Wallahi, really, really is unappreciated. He gets a phone call at maybe what? 12 a.m. He's with his family about to go to sleep. It may well be that he has to what? Put his jacket on and leave. Because husband and wife are killing one another at home. Sheikh, ta'al. He could either make the decision, you know what? Can't be bothered. It's outside of my working hours. Or he has to go and deal with this issue. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الرجل الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاهم خير من الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على أذاهم. The one who integrates, right? The one who integrates and mixes with the people, huh? And he's patient with them. This person is better than the one who closes himself off. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters? It really, really isn't an easy job. Wallahi, we should be kissing the imams. Like when I hear about Sheikh Abu Ayman that's been around for so long and he's still going, wallahi, it really, subhanAllah, brings a lot of joy and what they've done for the community all of these years. And then somebody comes along, he doesn't hear what he wanted to hear, he starts disrespecting a person of experience and someone who's been around for so long. Being silent of the truth spreads uncertainty and is the leading reason for the spread of ignorance. It is a leading reason for the spread of ignorance. When some, and I'm going to use it as an example without dropping any names, when some leading figures, brothers and sisters, remained quiet in the USA or they blurred the truth. Because what happened once upon a time, brothers and sisters, a very well-known, influential speaker came out on Al Jazeera and he was asked about same-sex marriages. And I'm just quoting, brothers and sisters. I don't express my own views and my opinions. I just quote the scripture. And I'm going to, inshallah ta'ala, read out the freedom of speech rule and the right to offend that was implemented many, many years ago that they themselves came with. We're not here to express or to entice violence, homophobia, right? Or anything along the lines of that. When they came out and they started saying things like, we agree with it politically, but we don't agree with it morally. And the amount of confusion that this caused, where people became extremely, extremely confused, so much so, wallahi, a brother said to me, when you go through some of the university campuses, right, you will struggle to find a hijabi that doesn't have the rainbow colors on her chest as a badge. You will struggle. And perhaps this was the cause of the leading figures either blurring the haqq or what? Keeping quiet. My brothers and my sisters, think about this point for a moment, right? We live in a democratic country where one is allowed to express or exercise his right of speaking freely. Why is it that everyone's allowed to say what they want, but it's now reaching a point where one is asked about his gender, he hesitates. Someone's asking him, are you straight? He begins to think twice. What should I say and what should I not? Ila hadhihi daraja. So let me read this out. On the freedom of speech and the right to offend. Following the Charlie Hebdo attacks, which took place in January 2015. Numerous politicians and leaders around the world boldly asserted that their nations will never give up freedom of speech. Likewise, they affirmed the right to offend. In a free society, have you guys heard of David Cameron? David Cameron was the previous prime minister before Boris Johnson and before Theresa May. Okay? Look what he said. David Cameron, the UK prime minister, stated, "It is very important in our countries that we have a freedom of expression. You are allowed to offend people." That's what he said. And we're not even offending anyone. We're just quoting that which is in the scripture. ما قاله الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I just want to take a moment now to thank the Australian government for allowing me to into the country to express or to exercise my freedom to say whatever I want, as this is the law, right? Jameel, jazahumullah khair. Actually, I shouldn't have. Hadahumullah. Tayyib. So you are allowed to offend people that you might not agree with something as often. Something as often I see things I do not agree with. But I believe in the freedom of speech and the rule of law. These types of remarks were made by politicians in order to defend the right of French cartoonists to depict Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who of course is revered as a prophet of God by 1.5 billion. This was the stats then, but now it's 1.8 billion. 1.5 billion Muslims spread across the entire globe. Through immoral, deliberately provocative and insightful pornographic caricatures that they were making about our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his 9th January 2015 article titled, "We Must Always Be Free to Criticize Ideas Like Islam." Forget about freedom of speech. In some places, we're being stripped of the freedom of silence. And perhaps maybe because this three-step strategy has been fully implemented and utilized. What is this three-way strategy that came about in the 1980s by two Harvard graduates? It is called desensitize, jam, and then convert. This was the three-way strategy that they had. What does that mean? When you desensitize, and you talk about something all the time, then you say, khalas, fahimt. Huh? I've got the point now. You become desensitized to it because it's always happening around you. What's the second strategy that was used then, and is still being used? Jam. The moment somebody says something, there's scaremongering taking place. He's ostracized, he's cancelled, he's spoken about negatively, and so on and so forth. The media comes after him, and so on and so forth, to scare the people that they shouldn't say anything. And then, the third step strategy is what? Convert. You'll be easily converted to whatever is being propagated. And we can use this three-step strategy, right? How it's beneficial for us. Where we speak about certain things because it's dying out. Look at it this way. Some of the scholars and the righteous of the past, they will say, whenever the sunnah, whenever an act of sunnah goes missing in society, you will find bid'ah is brought to life. Agreed? And that is because the sunnah is not being spread. And likewise, we can say this here. Because the haqq is not being propagated, you will find that which is normative Islam will fade away. That which is normative Islam will fade away. And people will start normalizing that which was, even in British society, was considered immoral. All the way up until recently, right? In the West, a lot of that which we see today, according to them, This is the party that is currently in charge. Oh, it's got La ilaha illallah background as well. Huh? Jameel. Does that make sense to my brothers and my sisters? Huh? Hadha huwa. They are so vocal about their morals and their values, but we as Muslims, we feel embarrassed to quote what is in the Quran. When Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةِ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ الْعَالَمِينَ. And again, according to the scripture, Allah said, when Lot came to his people and asked, you guys carry out these immoral practices. No one preceded you in this from the time of Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve, from Adam and Eve all the way up until that point. This was unheard of. Considered by them, and also according to the Jews and the Christians, it was considered immoral. And remember, subhanAllah, when they invited Jacob Rees-Mogg. Have you guys heard of Jacob Rees-Mogg? He's one of Boris Johnson's right-hand man on one of the mainstream morning shows in the UK. And they kept on asking him, you're going to be Prime Minister, you're probably going to run for, huh? Being a Prime Minister very, very soon. What is your view? You know what he said? And he kept on saying this, according to the teachings of the church. Kada wa kada. According to the teachings of the church. And he kept on repeating it. They couldn't get him cancelled. The media couldn't do anything to him because he quoted the church. And as long as you quote the scripture, you should be safe. As opposed to when you start what? Speaking about your own views and whatever. And I've got your backs, brothers and sisters. I've spoken to enough lawyers, enough solicitors. Huh? And they've provided me with a lot of information in how to play this game. How many are we on? This is number 10. The 10th, brothers and sisters, and all you guys are witness, I didn't quote my own views and my opinions. Just in case I'm leaving, I got all you guys as a witness. Something happens. Number 10, he said, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا فإن بها أناسا يعبدون الله عز وجل فاعبد الله معهم ولا ترجع إلى أرضك. Go to that land. Indeed, there are people who worship Allah. Worship Allah Azza wa Jal with them. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Worship Allah with them. What do we take away from this, brothers and sisters? That it may well be that one needs to move out of his area in order to better himself as a Muslim. Because, again, one of the common questions that people send in saying, I want to change, I want to better myself, but my environment. Last time when I came back from Umrah, we were sitting with a lot of youngsters because we take out roadmen, drug dealers to Umrah. We have a mashru' project like that. In front of the Kaaba, one of the brothers was saying, he can't leave his house except with a knife. He can't leave his house except with a knife. And he'd probably get killed soon. This is what he's telling me. This kind of individual, is it allowed for him to even stay here? May Allah Azza wa Jal reward my parents. Sallallahu Azza wa Jal an yahfadhahuma. Right? If they didn't make the decision, ba'da tawfiq Allah Azza wa Jal, to move me out of London to Leicester, either one of three things would have happened because all of my friends fall in these categories. I would have either been dead in prison or I would have gone and joined ISIS. Many of them who went abroad and came back, they came back with regret. They themselves are saying this. Wallahi, we wish we would have gone because we saw Muslims fighting in Madriyash ila akhirah. My cousin, until now, nobody knows where he is because he went. His parents don't know where he is. And a lot of them realized that they were wrong. Those who came back in London, I'm just quoting what they said. Many of my friends are in prison. Some of them are dead, right? Wallahi, the last day of year 10, right? Anyways, forget that. Point of the matter is that it could have been a very, very different story. You may see this beard there now, but he wasn't always there. From coming from a lifestyle where a helicopter one time was chasing me on the streets of North London, a helicopter. A lot of the things went round to my parents and they made the decision to move me out to Leicester. And wallahi, it was one of the best things that I've done. Thinking back and looking at this hadith makes a lot of sense. How long do we have, Sheikh Usama? Wallahi, they say the average attention span for millennials is 14 minutes. This was 4 years ago. I don't know what it is now. That's why all of these social media engines, they have these reels that doesn't exceed 30 seconds. Because they realize they can't concentrate for long. Taib, that may be your environment, but there is a completely different monster that we're dealing with today, and that is the monster of phones. Agreed? Allah, it reminds me of my handwriting. When I was in the Ma'had and I wrote some stuff, right? My teacher said, this kind of khat, this kind of handwriting, it caused the jinn. Make sure you fix it up. I'm not trying to have a go at whoever wrote that, but I'm talking about my handwriting. طيب. These phones that we have, brothers and sisters, it may well be time to detach ourselves from it. Again, a common question that we receive all the time is, I'm addicted to pornography. What do I do? Advise me. Would it be extreme to say that it may be time to revert to these trap phones that we used to use back in the day? You know the phones that we used to have? We used to play Snake on? Simply because these phones are driving you to destruction. You know, there are some studies that have been done. If you want to get rid of a particular habit, you need to refrain from it for 40 days. Then I came across another article, it said 30 days. اختلف العلماء إلى قولين. Maybe do some research, but these were the kuffar who were doing these studies. 40 days or 30 days in order to rid yourself of certain habits. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi put it so eloquently when he said, the more one allows means of temptation to remain in their surroundings, the more you are at risk of being poisoned. I'll say that again. The more you allow means of temptation to remain in your surroundings, the more you are at risk of being poisoned. Have you guys heard of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam? إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيَّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ. One time he became busy with his fine race horses, which busied him from the Salatul Asr. You know what he'd done in order to reprimand himself? He went and slaughtered all of them because they busied him from the Salatul Asr. Now let me ask you a question. Would you do that to your car? After cleaning it and after putting all these flashy accessories on there and then you realize the Salah finished. Would you put it up for auction? Would you put it to charity? Not that I'm saying it's wajib. All we can take from that is detaching ourselves. Every link between us and the prohibited pulling us towards misguidance should be terminated. It is a step of being saved from the hellfire. So if you're suffering from that, brothers and sisters, it may be a good idea to detach yourself from that phone. Walk outside with the trap phone. Go for a walk. See how you feel. Yes, you will feel agitated. Because you're so addicted to your phone, and that's one of the signs to know if you're addicted. It's like the end of the world for you, the moment you don't find any Wi-Fi. He says what? Agitating and shaking like a drug addict would. He feels something is missing. Abshir, Abshir, Abshir. I've been given 12 minutes. And I still have... We're on number 12 now, right? Okay, we're on 11 now. طيب. Can I have another 5 minutes after that? Please. Huh? No, Number 11, one person of knowledge is far greater than 1,000 devout worshippers without knowledge. What did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? فَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. When you compare the alim to the rest of the ubad, it's like a moon. You know when the moon comes out, how bright it is to the rest of the nujum. There could be 1,000 worshippers who attend the masajid, but they can't bring anything or any benefit back to the community. The fa'idah that is muta'addiyah, that which extends out to others, is much more beneficial than that which one does with himself. Number 12, replacing your old friends with good ones. That's exactly what he told him, right? Leave here and go there. There are people who will be, inshallah ta'ala, beneficial for you. Number 13, sah? Togetherness in worship is more uplifting and lighter on the soul. Let me ask you guys a quick question. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is mandatory, right? So what if you're traveling? Do you have to fast? You don't have to fast. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا وَعَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٍ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. So people ask us, is it better for one to break his fast or to fast? مَا رَيُكُمْ. Anyways, that's a scholarly discussion. But one of the points we say to them is, if you break it, you will have to make up for it later on. Is it easier for one to just fast when everyone is fasting or to do the act of worship when he's by himself? It becomes a burden. That's why it may be delayed for months because of the one day that you missed. So the environment and what the people do around you really, really helps. This is why we say, come to the masajid, come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? When you're praying in congregation, it has a huge effect on an individual's iman. It's one of the mechanisms that keeps an individual firm here in the West. Attending a congregation, even if it is some salawat, instead of praying by yourself. Many people have told us that they fell off the moment they detached themselves from the masjid. Number 14. What matters is how the race finishes, brothers and sisters. فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا نَصَفَ الطَّرِيقَ أَتَاهُ الْمَوْتِ. As he went off to the land of redemption, it was time for him to depart this world. This man, brothers and sisters, was a barbaric, bloodthirsty individual, took 100 lives. But then, subhanAllah, he passed away. So the two angels are debating, Allah sends a third. What did Allah Azza wa Jal say to this third? In how to judge between them? Calculate which land he's closer to. If he's closer to the land of redemption, the angel of mercy can take him. If he's closer to that land where he committed all of this filth and evil, angel of adab can take him. Right? What did Allah do? Allah caused the earth to shake. And it pushed him towards the land of redemption. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters? It's how the race finishes. Every single Eid, brothers and sisters, right? Every Eid, we hear about somebody who died with alcohol in his mouth. Or died blasting music. Or died, brothers and sisters, with a woman in his car. That was not his mahram. Committing all types of evil or jumping up and down in the club. It's just one night, one night. I've been worshipping Allah for 30 days. Can't I just take a day off? Let me just enjoy myself. And at the back of his mind, he's telling himself, you know what? I'm just going to repent. Thing is, he can deceive Allah Azza wa Jal. Every Eid, we hear about something like that. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. Thing they can deceive Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahi, there was a brother I know went for Hajj. When you come back from Hajj, newly born baby, right? You know how he died? He died in front of the pub. The principle is, brothers and sisters, and it's a common sense as well. وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever is excessive in doing something, he's very likely going to die like that. If you're always on the phone, always on the phone, what's the likelihood that you'll die like that? Very likely, right? Because you're always doing that. And there's so many examples that I want to go through with regards to how someone died. Every now and again, we come across these videos of someone holding a mushaf and he died like that. Or he's in the haram, he was praying. Or the CCTV captures while he was praying while everyone was at work. Do you think that happens just by chance, brothers and sisters? The principle is, whoever's excessive in doing it, very likely going to die like that. Quickly hear some of these narrations, right? Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, أن أحد الناس قي أن أحد الناس مضاف إليه قيل له في سياق الموت قل لا إله إلا الله. There was an individual who was on his deathbed. They tried to get him to say لا إله إلا الله. What do you think he said? وما يغني عني وما أعلم أني صليت لله صلاة ولم يقلها. He was like, how is this going to benefit me? I never ever prayed a single prayer. And he never said the kalima. Brothers and sisters, every single one of us here can say La ilaha illallah. You think is that straightforward on your deathbed? They're telling him to say La ilaha illallah duna talqeen. Man kana akhiru kalami la ilaha dakhala al-jannah. This is what he says. How is this going to benefit me? I never prayed a single prayer. Ibn Rajab rahmatullahi alayhi in his kitab Jami al-Ulumi wal-Hikam, he speaks about Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawat from one of the writers of the past. He visited an individual who was on his deathbed and he tried to get him to say La ilaha illallah. You know what he said? Huwa kafir bima taqul. He's a kafir in that which you are saying. And he died like that, never said the kalima. So Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawat done some digging up to see what kind of individual he was. You know what he used to do? He was an alcoholic. Mudminul khamar. Some scholars say that there's a difference of opinion on music. Allahu Akbar. Is there a difference of opinion on music? No, there isn't. I can bring you ijma'at from nine qurun, nine centuries, where it was unanimously agreed upon. For argument's sake, right? Someone said to you it's permissible, even though it's not. Do you want the last thing that you do in this world? It's you listening to music, whether you see it to be permissible or not. Last thing that you do, you're what? Listening to music. Under ماذا قال ابن القيم رحمة الله عليه. He tells us about somebody who was known to love music. And he used to hum all the time when he was on his deathbed. What do you think he said, brothers and sisters? Ibn al-Qayyim says, tantata tanta. That was the last thing that came out of his mouth. Tantata tanta. When they tried to get him to say La ilaha illallah. والأمثل في هذا كثيرة. Wallahi, one time even a sheikh said to me that his young child was crazy Alan Shearer. You guys heard of Alan Shearer? Where the soccer guys at? They used to call him Fox in the Box. He used to play for Newcastle United. Back in the day. But today you have Ronaldo and Messi that the youngsters become crazy about. His duvet was Alan Shearer. His wallpaper was Alan Shearer. He wakes up Alan Shearer. He goes to sleep Alan Shearer. They try to get him to say, like, which thing he said? Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer. And today you may find somebody saying, Ronaldo, Ronaldo. Messi, Messi. And it messes up your life. How many is that? 115 now, right? One piece of advice got him to Jannah. He said to him, leave. That got him to Jannah. One piece of advice got him to Jannah. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we underestimate al-kalim al-tayyibah, the good thing that comes out of our mouths to others. The kind of impact they could have. Or sometimes you find the organizers, they put in so much effort and they don't come to terms how beneficial that program might be for the people. He said one thing, subhanAllah, one thing. And he got him to Al-Jannah. Well, like brothers and sisters, when I went to Masjid Sunnah, Sheikh Abu Bakr Zawd's Masjid and Sheikh Abdul Salam, may Allah Azza wa Jal bless them both. And it didn't occur to me, nor did I think it occurred to them. A non-Muslim attended the masjid, the lecture, a non-Muslim. And I didn't know that there was a non-Muslim there. A couple of days after that, I read on one of my YouTube videos, this individual commenting saying, I came to Lakemba, I wasn't a Muslim. I attended a lecture and you stayed, or the lecture stayed me to my faith. I became Muslim. Everything that he does now, inshallah ta'ala, if the organizers and those behind closed doors, because they never get applauded, right? It's always the guy in front of the camera that gets applauded. Even though they put in tireless work. Sometimes you put out a tweet. I honestly believe that one tweet could get you to Al-Jannah. But you're looking at that tweet thinking, right? It didn't get any retweets. It didn't get any shares. Little do you know, it was screenshotted, put in a WhatsApp group, and it's gone around the world. So many people benefited from them. And you may have been the reason why they die upon Al-Islam and upon Ta'ah. So don't belittle the good that you say. Don't undermine it. Sometimes you may just share a video to someone. And it's good deeds that accumulate on your scale. And that which is beneficial for you after you pass away. How many is that? Now we're on 17, right? Huh? There's food. Oh, subhanAllah. I thought they meant we're going to go to the mat'am. Huh? طيب خمس دقائق ننتهي. Huh? طيب. طيب أفشر أفشر أفشر. سامحونا والله. I looked at it and then I couldn't read it. Huh? طيب. 5 minutes and we'll be done. InshaAllah ta'ala. تلك عشرون كاملة. Number 16. The vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The vast mercy of Allah azza wa jal. Right? Number 17. 17, right? Ja'a ta'iban muqbilan biqalbihi ala Allah. It may well be, brother, and said, the difference between us and them is what? Us and this man who killed 100. You may look at this hadith and think, you know what? I've never killed anyone. I've still got a number of people that I can kill, complete, huh? Maybe a couple, before I repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. The difference between us and him may be, brothers and sisters, is that we keep telling ourselves, procrastination, I will repent, I shall repent. How many went to sleep and never woke up? How many went to sleep and never woke up, brothers and sisters? And the difference between us and him is, he made the decision. He packed his bags and he got off. And that's what eventually ended up saving him. And this is what every single one of us sitting here today should do. If there are sins that we're involved in, we get rid of it. And make that decision from today. How many is that? We're on 18 now. طيب. 18, خطورة الشرك. If he committed shirk, that would not have happened. And shirk is a very vast subject. Inshallah, Sheikh Hussam will cover it. Number 19. How quickly the angels, they fulfilled the command of Allah Azza. How eager they were to fulfill it. That's why they started arguing with one another. And last but not least, ذكر القصص أو القصص. There's a difference. ذكر القصص الذي فيه عبر أو التي فيه عبر. A good method of da'wah to the people is, especially to youngsters, is telling them stories that have benefit like this one. It could be that you instruct and you order and you prohibit. But it falls on deaf ears. But a story is something that most people are inclined to. And this is what I learned from our Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Badr. He's teaching whatever topic it might be. And he brings in stories and incidents to keep the listener concentrating. These are 20 benefits that we've taken from this hadith. May Allah Azza wa Jal make it benefits that we take heed from. And may Allah Azza wa Jal honor every single one of you. Wallahi, it's so lovely to see all of these glowing faces attending the masjid. And I just want to again thank our Sheikh Abu Ayman and our Sheikh Usama. Kuntu astafidu minhu. I used to benefit from him, right? Benefit from him while he is amongst you, right? A lot of people, they get excited when an international speaker comes, and we boycott, or should I say desert, and forsake the people of knowledge amongst us. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, أَعْزَلُ النَّاسِ بِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ أَوْ أَزْهَدُ النَّاسِ بِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ أَهْلُهُ. Those who forsake the people of knowledge more than anyone is his own people. Don't be from amongst them. Barakallahu feekum wa ahsanallahu ilaykum wa jazakum allahu khayran. I don't think we can have a Q&A because I think it's getting upset. Huh? I charge $5. Apple Pay. No, no, I'm joking. I will lie, brothers. The Sheikh, I think, is waiting. And yeah, I really want to give salams to every single one of you. But may Allah honor you guys. And if Allah does not bring us back in today's dunya, may Allah Azza wa Jal reunite us in the highest part of Al-Jannah. I love you all for the sake of Allah. It's been a wonderful experience coming here and seeing all the brothers and sisters. Barakallahu feekum. And also, I forgot to mention, there is the conference in the university, right? And they've told me to make you guys aware. There's a whole lineup of brothers, right? And the seats are filling up very, very quickly. And there's only maybe, I think, a couple of more left. So if you want to attend and benefit, it will be on Saturday. Find the details online, inshallah ta'ala. You can find it on my Instagram. Okay? The details are on the poster, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I don't understand it. I urge you in the hadith. 5 minutes. Al-Isha?
Al-Isha in the restaurant.